Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, final hour here on the program. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, the 53-man roster's out. We'll get your thoughts on some of that here in just a few minutes. I want to start on the Spears front, though, because obviously tough news for the Titans, him missing the first 4 weeks at minimum of the regular season. So how do you think they're going to handle this from a deployment standpoint? Are we just going to see a whole lot of Tony Pollard? I know Callahan talked earlier in the offseason about, you know, wanting maybe to split up the workload a little bit. Do you think that's still viable with Julius Chestnut and or Khalil Mullings? How do you think the Titans handle that in Spears' absence?
Yeah, I actually wrote about that earlier this offseason, the split and how he wanted a further distribution of labor. I think now it's going to be different. Sure, you don't want Pollard to get, you know, 30 carries a game, but at the same time, you have to understand that there is a bigger drop-off when you go from Pollard to Chestnut and Mullings as opposed to Pollard to Spears. And that's no slight on Chestnut and Mullings. I think they both should still get carries, and I think that's going to happen. But it's just the volume of carries the guy opposite Pollard was going to get was going to be higher than before.
So I know, TD, you tweeted, you know, you're surprised about Prochet being cut. He was a popular choice. And they could – do you think they will be able to, like, sneak him out of the practice squad and then still work it so that he could be their returner this year? I mean, do you feel like that's the plan and that that's feasible? And if not, is DK – Jim DK ready to take on that role as a rookie?
That's the thing that's so interesting, because John Fossil just a week or so ago hinted at them going with a veteran returner. And here it is, you know, the guy that was the best option for them has been released. I think they'll try to get Prochet on to the practice squad, and that'll give them, what, 3 call-ups. But after that, they're going to have to figure some things out. So, even if they do it that way, it's going to be a decision that is going to have to be made, you know, at some point during the year. I think that is what they would like to do, but, you know, who knows if he gets claimed, right? You got the Falcons. He had a nice week of practice against them. They need receivers. What if, you know, they grab him? Or, I mean, Tampa. What if Tampa grabs him? I doubt they would, but the Falcons, I think, are an option. So it just depends on how he clears the waivers.
So, TD, we've talked with you a lot about the offensive line and what they've looked like to this point in camp. I'm curious for your perspective on the depth of the offensive line, whether that's a Jackson Slater or a Jukwu out there. We know we've seen Corey Levin a lot, but how much better, if at all, do you think the Titans are from a depth perspective on the offensive line, knowing that injuries in this league inevitably happen at some point?
Yeah, I think, you know, John Ajuku is a guy that I think is more suited for the, you know, sixth lineman spot. And I don't necessarily think he's someone you want starting, right, if somebody goes down. I would probably lean more towards Crenshaw Dixon or Ali Udo to start if either of the tackles go down. The interior part of it, Jackson Slater, Corey Levin, would be the first ones up. So you do get some versatility with Levin and Slater. I thought Rupchich was a guy that would have made it because he could play all 4 spots, basically everything except center. So, I mean, I think the depth is there. Again, the drop-off from the starters to the reserves, it's pretty significant. So that's another situation where it's like, man, you hope you stay healthy.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, TD, like safety would be probably the one spot on this team where depth looks really sound, and you could make a case for, you know, being able to needing to upgrade the depth at a lot of other places. And to me, that's what the waiver claims are largely about, right? I think it's around 11 today is the deadline, I think, for teams to submit their claims. Do you feel like there's going to be several potentially from the Titans? And I guess if you were to rank the top two or three positions where you think them, and I know some, a lot of it has to do with like who is actually out there, but what would you say to that?
Yeah, I'd probably say cornerback. D-line is another one. Edge, you know, D-line slash edge. I would say those would be the ones. And, you know, we saw already that they intend to sign Skylar Turtle from Carolina. So you have that. I think, you know, cornerback is the one, though. That's the one I think is going to get the most action.
So, TD, on the front of tight end, you know, they're going with three to start the year. We talked with you about Chig and Gunnar Helm. You had David Martin Robinson in the fold. How do you feel about that room as a whole heading into week one against Denver based on what you've seen and having just three on the roster at this moment?
I think it's strong. I think it's very strong. You got a lot of versatility there. Gunnar Helm, you know, you can line him up out wide. He'll run routes like a receiver. You know what I mean? You could also have him in line. And, you know, if you want to motion him around, you could do that. But their move guys are Martin Robinson and more importantly, Chig. And, you know, there's so much you could do with him. So I think the versatility aspect is good. You don't have a pure bona fide inline guy. But, you know, you look at the blocking side of things, 907, David Martin Robinson, Gunnar Helm, and Chig, they all had their moments. So I think they're going to be okay blocking-wise, too.
So, TD, another possibility out there to me would be, like, I look at, like, Simeon and Brandon Allen, and it's like, what? Fine, pick one to be your QB2. I don't know if you're with PK and think that Simeon actually has a chance, but, like, I would like to see the Titans, if possible, have as a QB3 a young guy. Now, people will rag on me for saying Hendon Hooker.
I know
and look,
where you're going.
Yeah, yeah, but he's not. But what about Kyle McCord? I mean, there's you'll take it
now
away from
talking.
The orange colored glasses. Kyle McCord, for example, and I haven't
now
seen anything since he. Like, what do you think about that? Just having someone young, and who knows? You know, over time, you might really have something.
Yeah, I think McCord, you know, is a guy that could come in and be a developmental guy. Now, how much time you have to develop a prospect is a different story, but, you know, he could come along. And that's actually, it's funny you mentioned Kyle McCord because I liked him at Syracuse. I liked him at the Shrine. And then, you know, I was combing through the waivers and I saw the Eagles release him and I said, you know, that's somebody they probably should look at. So we're sharing a brain on that one.
TD, Brian Callahan the other day was talking about, you know, his design of training camp and how intentionally he wanted to make it pretty difficult. And specifically for Ward, he wanted to make it pretty difficult. Do you feel like they accomplished that? And if so, how much preparation can that actually give Ward for week one against what we know is going to be an incredibly talented and gifted defense in Denver?
Yeah, I think they did it. You look at the defenses they had them face. I know the Falcons don't have like an amazing defense and standout players, but personnel wise, but Raheem Morris, we know is one of the better DCs in the league and now obviously head coach. And then you look at, you know, the week before with Todd Bowles and then finishing up with Brian Flores and then practicing against Denard Wilson. So you got very aggressive defenses that he's going against, and that's good. I think it'll give him a taste, but he doesn't know what he's about to experience going into Denver with that defense and with a regular season and actual game plan and everything. And the good thing is there's actual game planning on the Titans side too. So it's going to be a good matchup. I don't think he's necessarily going to go into it knowing exactly what it's going to be, and it'll be a feel out period. And it's just going to be about how they could weather those early storms. That's going to be the big thing.
In the, you know, week and a half until that game, TD, if there's, you know, if you're his QB coach, what's the thing you're hammering that needs to get better, you know, on the field, technically speaking, that he needs to sharpen up as much as possible before this opener?
I would just always consistently tell him timing, timing, timing. Get to your drop, get the ball out. Top of your drop, get the ball out. Top of your drop, get the ball out. You know what I mean? Those types of things. That's what I would really make sure that he's able to hone in on. And then obviously with that timing, it comes to footwork, you know. So that's the direction I would go.
TD, you know, I said the other day on the show, we were talking about, you know, wide receiver three and who that ends up being for the Titans, and it could be a game-to-game type of thing. I really like Io Manor. I liked what I saw from him throughout the preseason. I think hopefully he's got a chance as the season goes on here to really grow as a player. Where do you think he is? And now that you've gotten to see him up close and personal in camp, where do you project he may be as the year goes along here? What kind of a season do you think is in store for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's big. He's talented. I think where he is right now is inconsistent, right? And that's the main thing that he has to make sure that he brings to the table. And he's not soft or anything like that, but I would like to see him a little more aggressive, like a little more not dominant, but just, you know, sometimes you got to go across that middle with no fear. And well, all the time. But, I mean, sometimes – you want to see him do that a little more aggressively and just like run his routes with more, more to it. I guess urgency is a word, but I think when it hits for him, but he just has to be a more consistent player. And that's really the bottom line.
Who ends up with more snaps and targets this season? Io Manor or Van Jefferson?
I think it's going to be Io Manor. Cause I feel like there's going to be a moment where it hits. Kind of like what happened with Cedric Gray this preseason. You know, there was a moment where it hit. Next thing you know, you're like, wow, there's a player there. And I think that's what you're going to get from Iron Manor. He's a player. He's been impressive. So I would say he'll have more snaps and receptions than Van Jefferson, but it's going to come towards the end of the year.
Well, TD, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your perspective. Appreciate your time. And we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, for sure, man. And allergy season is upon us. I feel it. It's crazy. Appreciate you bearing with the Barry White over here.
Oh, no, it's good stuff. That's also what happens when it's, you know, 51 in the morning and then 90 in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. TD, great stuff, man. Appreciate you.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it.
Teron Davenport presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. We'll react to what TD had to say. Coming up next, take your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 The Game. Tune in to ESPN 94.9 The Fan this Sunday at 2 o'clock for our college football game of the week. Virginia Tech taking on South Carolina. Presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Circa Sportsbook, and Macero in 12 South. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. We will have Charles Robinson with us tomorrow on the show. Paul Kuharski a little bit later in the week. I believe Friday is when that is taking place. So we will have PK later in the week on the program. Joe, it's interesting to get TD's thoughts there on the running back part of this. Spears out a minimum of 4 weeks. And one of the things we discussed earlier in the show, what does this mean for Tony Pollard? Like, we know that Tony Pollard was going to be the primary back anyway for the Titans. But Brian Callahan did spend some time this offseason talking about how they'd like to maybe divide things up a little bit more with the running back and how, you know, you could probably save Pollard deeper into the season by doing that. And now with Spears out the first 4 weeks, as TD mentioned, I think there's pretty big drop-off from Tony Pollard to Julius Chestnut and Khalil Mullings. That's just me. We'll see if they agree with that. How do you think Spears being out basically the first month affects what they do with Pollard, how they run their offense, everything kind of involved in that discussion, Joe Rexroth?
Yeah, well, look, it's part of why in my first fantasy draft of the year with the Athletic Detroit folks, I took Tony Pollard as my third back and felt pretty good about it in like the eighth round. First of all, I think he's going to get a lot of work early, but also I just think I don't think that Spears was going to be a split workload guy anyway, maybe a little bit more work. I think he can be an effective third down back. But Pollard, I mean, Pollard can be an every down back too. I mean, really the reason you don't want that is for wear and tear. He can do it. he can do every, I mean, he's a good football player. He can do every aspect of the position. And I just think Chestnut and Mullings, I mean, Chestnut can do it too, but I guess I'm interested today to see if they do something that would be sort of like, okay, this is a third down back for us. And if not, then I could see just Pollard really getting heavy, heavy snaps, certainly before Spears comes back. But either way, I also just think Pollard is going to be – I think he's going to consistently get a lot of work, and I think he's going to produce this year behind an improved offensive line.
Yeah, like, you know, it's probably something we've not talked a lot about of, you know, Tony Pollard last year with that offensive line in front of him and with an offense that pretty quickly everybody knew, Joe, that they just weren't going to be able to be all that productive throwing the football. I mean, he still slogged his way to over 1,000 yards, 1,079 yards, 5 touchdowns last year. You know, he was 4-2 in attempt, which is an okay number. He's 28 this year. He's always been, you know, right around a 1,000-yard guy since he started to take over as a primary back. Like, it's not like he's ever rolled off some 1,400-yard season or anything like that. But I do wonder, with an offensive line that I think you look at him and you say, all right, you could see where run blocking, they could be pretty good. Like, they've got some guys that seems to fit their MO. Could this be a year? Like, could you get 1,200 yards, 1,250 yards out of Tony Pollard on the ground this year? Like, I'm not going to go nuts and start talking about Tony Pollard being some 1,500-yard back when he's never approached that. But, like, could Tony Pollard at age 28 with this offensive line and hopefully with a quarterback and a passing game that at least poses a threat out there, like, could he be a 1,200-yard guy this year? Because that would be, to me, a pretty big development for this offense if he could do that, and then eventually you do get Spears back and use him how you see fit.
Yeah, no, I think that's possible. And on the Spears front, I know that he was having a good offseason. You know, obviously, like, his injury issues have not been related to the big concerns when he came in the league.
Yep.
But he has had a variety of things, soft tissue things. Is it possible that the Titans can feel like they can actually upgrade on him through the waiver wire?
Maybe. I mean, look, I said this before the latest injury. Like, with Spears, it's reached the point with me where I have basically no belief, right? Like, he's hurt all the time. Frankly, when he's been healthy, there hadn't been much there. And I don't know how much of that is him and how much of that is the offense and the line and the situation that he's been in. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy in 2 years that, like, he ran for 453 yards his first year, 312 last year. He struggled to stay on the field last year. I know he had some personal stuff going on last year too, so I don't discount that. But I think as a third-round pick, Joe, it's been very underwhelming from Tajay Spears to this point. And now it's to the point with him from a performance standpoint and now from an injury standpoint where I just don't have a lot of confidence that he's going to work out here.
Yeah, it's fair. I'm not convinced he won't. I'm not convinced, you know, that he can't stay healthy and that he can't be a good third down back and be better than he was last year. I think there's something to how he was performing and having a good offseason. But again, then you just get another issue. High ankle sprains are brutal too.
Yeah.
I mean, high ankle sprains are – it's just you whenever you come back, it feels like it's usually too early, no matter who it is. So it's like we know he's missing the first 4 weeks, but I'm not sure that that'll get him back to full explosiveness. I mean, how many weeks will it actually take? Those things are – although, again, like Patrick Mahomes is fine in a week from those, quote-unquote. If you have a true high ankle sprain, that's a significant injury, so – yeah, it's just so in light of that, is there another answer? Because, you know, the other two guys, Chestnut is, I mean, he's the Mason Kinsey of the running back room, right? I mean, yep. Like, now I think he's good. I think he can go out there and he can be fine for you. But, like, is there someone out there where you can actually upgrade that position? I wouldn't just rule it out. Again, a lot of people throwing out Audric Estime. Yep. He doesn't get me all that excited, but he did have some good moments last year for the Broncos.
Yeah, and then, you know, it was interesting to get TD's thoughts on Io Manor as well. So, you know, I think inconsistent would probably be the word to describe him to this point. And TD talked about how, you know, when it hits with him, it hits, and he looks good. And when it doesn't, and he's probably, you know, I think it was at the Atlanta practice a couple of weeks ago where he just got absolutely dominated out there by, like, A.J. Terrell, and it's like, all right, I mean, what's going on that front? And he talked about how, you know, they just being more intentional with the way that you're running your routes and using your size to your advantage and all those things. I mean, to me, Joe, all that sounds like a fourth-round wide receiver who is going to take some time to get things figured out at the NFL level, right? Like, that to me is kind of a carbon copy of what that sounds like. I like the skill set. I like the size. But I think anybody that's relying on Io Manor to come in week one and be like some, you know, five catch, 85-yard guy, I don't know that I would expect that.
Right. You really want, like, around midseason for there to be a clear difference with him, you know, and a progression. And, again, like, kind of taking over, getting more snaps, getting more targets and things like that. I mean, that's what you want to see realistically. I do have a text on my personal text line, someone who knows this franchise very well, wondering about Callahan. You know, does he want to major in the run game or would he rather throw it? Like, he should want to run with the rookie QB, but is he a committed run game guy? Like, Bill Callahan,
yeah,
loves running the darn football. Wisconsin's offensive line coach, by golly, that guy wants to run the football. Is, you know, is Brian Callahan committed? Can he look at things and say, hey, man, like, this is what we're going to do?
It's a good question.
And it's going to work, you know? Look, people, I know Titans fans, a lot of them are like, I want a team that throws the ball. I want this to look like the Bengals have looked, right? So I get that. But balance will always work in this game. It will always work.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your Titans thoughts to get to. We will do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is for Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen in Donelson. Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen, a beloved neighborhood hub featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, offers a gourmet twist on comfort food, and you can enjoy one of their 24 taps of craft beer selections, wine, and unique canned cocktails. Get half off a $100 gift card now at thegamenashville.com. while supplies last. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, our phone number. Wild day on the text line. People are asking for Joe's personal phone number on the text line, hoping that Joe will yell at them. I think we have people impersonating other texters on the text line. We got a lot going on today on the program.
Yeah, 1-900-GOUT-GOUT is the line to reach me. I also, if you go to my X account, I do have a phone number there.
You do.
Some people may or may not know. It is the Hall & Oates helpline. You call it up, you will hear a Hall & Oates song. Your day will be better. By the way, just totally off topic because I'm thinking of Hall & Oates, even though they're not quite qualifying. I recently watched the Yacht Rock documentary. It's freaking amazing. It is so good. And it's more than Yacht Rock. It is a great history of music. I would encourage everyone to watch it.
Where do you find this?
Oh God, I'm bad with this. Like, I don't think it was Netflix. I think it might be an HBO Max doc. But just, you know, Google it.
Okay.
And watch. It's awesome. It is. I mean, Michael McDonald, man, just absolute voice of the gods. Just, oh my goodness.
It does appear. It's in HBO Max.
HBO Max. There we go.
Also, yeah, and somebody on the text line is sitting here, yeah, pretending to be Adam from Portland.
A documentary with D-O-C-K.
Oh, yes. Nice. Yes, absolutely.
Look at there.
With the captain hat.
Yeah, somebody's impersonating Adam from Portland on the text line, calling Joe fat.
Saying I look like a bunch of biscuits.
A busted can of biscuits.
Like yeah, there you go. Yeah. That wasn't very nice. I'm like, geez, Adam. You know, Adam and I have had our differences.
Somebody's trying to goad you into being a real, real mean on the text line.
I haven't been mean to anybody on the text line today, by the way, other than like fake yelling at Viking Matt. So I'd like to know who's tattling on me to chase. You know, we're going to figure this out.
Grigsby says the Hall & Oates hotline's been shut down. We need to do some investigative journalism on this.
Oh, my God, really?
That's what Grigsby says
so
on the text
sad.
Line.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
you got to make a call after the show.
I'm going to make a call right after the show, and I'm going to have to possibly change my account. Wow, that's really sad.
Jeez.
I'm going to have to put something on there. Like, do they still have I used to call, you know, like the movie line.
Yeah.
You know? This was in a Seinfeld episode. Like, tonight's shows at West Columbia. You know, do they still have that? Something. We
Is this Kramer?
Man.
I remember we used to call the call a hotline to see whether or not the field has been rained out for like a baseball game. And I was wondering about that, like if that number, which I had memorized, still existed in Hendersonville. Turns out it doesn't, and I guess they just send text messages out now as to whether or not the field's closed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like we still need to preserve our landline, you know, recording phone numbers. Eric asked if he was going to ask me if Hall & Oates are considered Yacht Rock. So according to the Yacht Rock, you know, experts, they don't quite qualify. There's a whole breakdown of why, you know, you have to watch it.
Okay. Hey, Micah Parsons' situation is still not figured out. All of Green Bay Packers Twitter, Joe, is convinced that Micah Parsons is getting traded to the Packers today. We'll see how it goes.
Is there real smoke around that?
I don't know. Like, there's all these rumors about, like, reports being on the table of a couple first-round picks being offered by the Packers, and you got John Kuhn tweeting out Micah freaking Parsons, who technically works for the team. A lot of interesting stuff going on.
My God, man. I mean, you're going to just have a parade. What if this actually were to happen?
I'm trying to refrain myself from getting my hopes up.
What would you be fine with your Packers giving up for Micah Parsons?
If it's a couple first-round picks, second-round pick tossed in there, that's fine. I don't care. Give up the picks.
You're not giving up are you giving up three firsts?
I would not want to, but if they did it, I wouldn't be that upset about it. I mean, it's Micah Parsons, man. He's 26 years old.
Do it.
Yeah, I'll take him. That'd be pretty nice. Like, you know, they've been the youngest team in the NFL the past few years. They're fine on young talent. Go get Micah Parsons. That'd be fine.
My goodness, they would. I mean, I'd pick them to win the NFC. Period.
Yeah,
they'd be my favorite.
Yeah. Joey Nashville says he just called the Hall & Oates hotline. It's up and running.
Worked for me.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's good. It's all good. Grigsby,
okay, don't
bad
don't
information.
Scare me.
Bad
scare
information
me.
From Grigsby on the text
this
line.
This is how I yell at people on the text line, you know. But okay, so someone else texted that it was down for a while, but it's back up. Thank
right.
goodness.
Okay.
Hall & Oates hotline, baby. What's the number?
It's in your Twitter profile.
I'm on it right now. 719-266-2837.
There you go. I think a lot of people thought I was putting like my personal phone number on my Twitter account. It's like, no, man, just call the number. Call the number and find out. And just hear, no, can do. I mean, you're just going to feel better about your day immediately.
Wow, look at Ian's. Ian's got it playing. This is live on the Hall & Oates hotline. I wonder how many people have looked at Rex Rhodes' Twitter account and been like, oh, yeah, I guess I'd give this call, see what's going on here, and have been greeted with that.
Every single one of them has smiled because of it. I promise you that.
Are Hall & Oates, are they, you know, first off, you know, Oates, friend of the show here.
Absolutely. John Oates, friend of the show.
Yeah. Are they like, have they repaired their relationship?
I thought I saw something where maybe to some extent, it doesn't seem like it's a complete, you know, gnashing of teeth back and forth now.
That's good.
So hopefully, because I'd love to have another chance to watch them. The only time I've seen them live, which was Caroline's first concert when she was like six, and she fell asleep halfway through Hall & Oates, Tears for Fears opened at Bridgestone. And so I didn't even get to see, like, You Make My Dreams Come True as a final encore. I had to take her home.
Well, they better hurry up. I mean, John Oates is 77 years old. Daryl Hall's 78, so better hurry up.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, John Oates looks like he's about 58. Dude is ripped.
77 years old.
Damn, good job, John Oates.
Have to get him back on the show.
We will.
Been a couple years since
secrets,
he's been on.
Bro, damn.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Again, taking your thoughts on the Titans because, you know, this is a sports show. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. You know, it was interesting going through the waiver wire part of this. You know, TD talked about edge rusher, defensive line. You know, he was really strong on corner about how that could be something that the Titans take a look at here. I will be interested to see, like, today, how much does the 53-man roster shuffle for the Titans? And how much do they look at the bottom part of their roster right now and say, you know what, we're not very happy with this. I think we could upgrade here with some guys that are out there and available. How much does it churn today, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, the guys who should know that they're right around the bottom of the roster should feel very uncomfortable today. I'm going to make a – Chase, if you're listening, I got a hot take.
Oh, boy.
Chase, it's hot. It's a take and it's hot. I think the Titans are – maybe it's not that hot. I think the Titans are going to pick up three players today. Okay. And they will replace three guys who yesterday, quote-unquote, were on the 53. Well, I'm going with three.
Yeah, that'd probably be how that works if they pick up three guys today.
Yes. yes, thank you.
They will pick up three guys, and then they will replace three other ones.
See how that works? Yeah. I even weaved in some math
That's
for you.
Good stuff there. Really good stuff there on that front. Hey.
So anyway, Hall & Oates, my favorite song.
Yeah. Good stuff there. I mean, look, the other part that we talked about, you know, they brought in some lower level guys this offseason, brought in a lot of them, right? It clearly felt like they were trying to like find a diamond in the rough. And it just doesn't really feel like they did that with the roster. So now turning the attention to the waiver wire, like, can you find one of those guys that, again, you're hoping you're not coming in and is just a, you know, an everyday starter for you, because the odds of you finding that in the waiver wire are not high. But can you find some guys on the waiver wire that provide an upgrade in depth? Because, you know, we focus so much on their starters, but this is the National Football League. There are going to be some injuries that they deal with throughout the course of the year. And as we pointed out earlier in the show, other than probably safety and maybe some of the offensive line, maybe, they are not very well equipped to deal with that as presently constructed.
Yeah, I've kind of been talked into corner being maybe, as TD said it first earlier, being like a position where you can see some urgency. I think some of their pickups, just they have not been Trey Avery level pickups. And so I feel like that's really – I would bet on a corner. And then, you know, the running back thing is interesting, but I think the trenches too – like, just like TD said, maybe especially on the defensive side of the ball, it just feels like they should be able to. I heard Trevor Maddich saying this on DVD yesterday. I mean, they should be able to absolutely upgrade their depth,
yeah,
up front defensively with a snap of finger. I think there's several options that could upgrade them there. So I would look for that. I think the defensive side of the ball probably gets more work done.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025.
Hey, Robbie, can I say just one thing? Because
sure.
Apparently that was Kenny the mailman who was pretending to be Adam, and he says, as he's posted four straight times, that you look like an Amish.
I think you're falling for it again. Yeah, it's not Kenny the mailman either.
It's not Kenny the mailman, no. But it's not Big Joe's number. Who is this?
I don't know. It ain't Kenny
the mailman.
But anyway,
he said you look like an Amish Slim Jim, which is pretty special. That's pretty sweet.
And anything that says Slim attached to me, I will take, which I don't think is entirely accurate. But I'll take it. Thank you. An Amish Slim Jim.
Exactly. Yeah, it's better than a big pile of biscuits. Which describes my physique.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. We got somebody screaming at us about not talking enough college football, which we talked about for an hour today. We'll also take your thoughts on that, too, if you want to. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5 The Game. Tune in for the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage beginning at 1 o'clock. And it's brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. The 53-man roster is set. We've gotten your thoughts on that throughout the show today. Really, the one big surprise was James Prochet not making the team. And it's not like that's some massive surprise. We wondered, would they keep six? Would they keep seven?
Seven is a lot for wide receivers.
So they've gone with six at the moment. And then we'll see if Prochet gets back through on the practice squad. And if he does, you know, do the Titans elevate him in week one to be the punt returner against Denver? Does DK eventually garner enough confidence from the coaching staff where they feel good about him being in that role? So there's a couple things to keep your eye on there. Xavier Restrepo did not make the team. We'll see if he ends up on the practice squad or if he gets claimed somewhere. My guess is he will not, and he will end up back on the Titans practice squad. So a couple things to keep an eye on that front. But, you know, again, you know, we talked so much the last few days, Ian, about the 53-man roster and now the waiver wire. And at the end of the day, like, this is really focused on the bottom part of your roster. And I think that we lose sight of that a lot in this discussion.
That hopefully these guys you're hoping won't have major impact or playing time this season.
I mean, if they do, it either means a really good story for them or things have gone very poorly for you.
Yeah.
So that's typically what this time of year means. But here we are, you know, the waiver wire, we'll see. You know, I think Joe said three is what his expectation looks like.
Schefter put out yesterday, he's expecting, or teams are expecting, the Titans to make several moves.
Yeah.
Today, a little bit of a move right now, not involving the Titans, but there has been an NFL trade. The Panthers are trading wide receiver Adam Thielen to Minnesota in exchange for, you know, some late pick swaps, fifth round pick, and some, you know, so pretty much nothing. But the Vikings are bringing back Adam Thielen.
So Thielen going back to Minnesota. Last year, Thielen, 48 catches, 615 yards. And five touchdowns in 10 games. And remember, you know, Minnesota's going to start the year without Jordan Addison with a suspension.
And Jefferson's been banged up.
Jefferson's been banged up a little bit. Now, it looks like Jefferson will be ready to go by week one, but still bringing in a veteran presence there at wide receiver with Adam Thielen, who, you know, is 35 now. He turned 35 a few days ago. I don't know how much more he's got left in the tank. Cool to see him go back to Minnesota there, but had a really nice year with Carolina 2 years ago, where he caught 100 balls for 1,000 yards and four touchdowns. And then last year kind of looked like what you expect the 34-year-old wide receiver to look back, and injuries were a part of it as well.
Should be good for J.J. McCarthy, though, in Minnesota. He'll need some extra veteran help. Probably be a good security blanket there for him. So, yeah, so that, I guess there's still a few moves being here made around. So, I mean, not just waiver claims, maybe a few late round trades here still to go.
Well, and do the Titans have any interest in that? Like, is there somebody out there that they'd be willing to give up a later round pick for? I mean, much beyond that, like, I don't have any interest in, you know, I know when the Brian Robinson Jr. stuff was floating around, it was like, could the Titans give up a fourth round pick? I was like, no, do not do that. You're not in a spot right now
where
you need to
be giving
up fourth round picks for running backs. And he ended up going to San Francisco. So, Don't get yourself involved in any of that, but, you know, this is a process here beyond just the quarterback part of it, which is clearly the most important part. Like, go look at the Titans' 53-man roster yesterday, and Ian, probably the biggest thing that stood out to me was, yeah, this is going to be a multi-year process to get this thing churned back around to where you feel good about not only the starters, but the depth that you've got with it. They're still a ways away.
Yep. And they decided to go with Jahad Ward and Jalen Harrell as far as their outside linebacker depth, some of the rotational guys. So they kept five there. And they did keep the five safeties. They kept Mike Brown and Quandre Diggs. Weren't sure if both were going to make it, but I guess they found some special teams. And 11 for the offensive line, kind of a big number. You're keeping three backup tackles. As far as Crenshaw Dixon, hyphenated there, Ojokwu, OJ, and Udo.
Yeah.
So you have three. I'm not sure who they would have in line as your swing tackle right now. Perhaps it's Udo. And you get rid of
Jalen Duncan. Yeah.
And you're bringing in Crenshaw Dixon. Maybe there's a little bit of a swap there. You see some upside. So one thing I have been thinking about when it comes to the offensive line and the signing of Dan Moore Jr. as a veteran, as your left tackle, and what the impact Bill Callahan, big coach, can have on an offensive lineman after he's a veteran.
Yeah.
He's been with the same team since he got drafted. You go to a new team, you find a new positional coach and someone like Brian Callahan. Is there something there that he can find a way to bring Dan Moore's game to another level?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, look, they're paying him a lot of money, and I know that was the going rate for, you know, finding a starting left tackle on the open market. But
so I'm kind of optimistic that maybe he can be consistent and that maybe Bill Callahan can kind of throw a few extra pointers in there.
Look, the word is in camp that he looked pretty good. So
I mean, we heard nothing about him.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, he played in the preseason, and we were not complaining one time.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I really got any really saw him was like when he got hurt, dinged up. And I was like, oh no, please don't be hurt.
That's the last thing we need. And right. So, yeah, I think all signs are pointing pretty good on that one.
Yeah, well, hopefully it stays that way in the regular season. Again, we talked about Warren Sharp the other day. They did like his front seven analysis. And he took away Denver as the number two front seven in all of football. So that's a stiff test that the Titans are going to be going up against in week one. We got Charles Robinson on the show tomorrow from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into all things NFL with him. Shout out to Heather Stanley and Allison Stanley, who are listening on their way to the zoo right now.
Oh, beautiful day for Allison, the zoo. How about
love
that?
You. Absolutely. Jake is coming up next on Next Man Up. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m., 102.5 The Game.